All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. First of all, an incredible Yashar Koach to say you.
Yes.
Mamish, absolutely beautiful and wonderful. And also, I heard that some of you like your eggs made a little bit differently at different times. So please, feel free to convey that to Saeed.
And
by tomorrow morning, the omelet station will be open. He'll be taking orders, whatever you need. We'll say a very special thank you to our sponsors for the daf over Yonta. So first of all, to the Levitan Mishpacha, who dedicated the shir, the entire sukkis and the schus, that Hashem should accept the tfilos of all of Klal Yisrael. Bring Moshiach and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and Hira B'Yameinu.
Amen.
Shkoyach. I also neglected to mention that the Oppenheim Mishpacha sponsored the shir on the first day in commemoration of the Yartzeit of Yitzchak ben Zalman Shlomo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and a family in Nechama.
Amen.
And our breakfast this morning is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Ira Grossman, Le'iloi Nishmas Ira's father, Melech ben Yisrael, Mr. Melvin Grossman. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama.
Amen.
We'll say with that, let us begin. Beautiful, beautiful morning in the Sukkah. Such a schos. Okay, so today's daf is daf lamed. And we are picking up at the two dots, four lines down from the top on lamed amud aleph. Sidur sama arachi gedolos. Well, just remember again, yesterday's Mishnah, we were discussing the arrangement of the pyre. Two different ma'arachas, two different pyres, two piles of wood on the top of the Mizbeach. A ma'aracha gedola, the large pyre, which ultimately was used to go ahead and burn the karbanos. Ma'aracha kitana, the smaller pyre, which was used for a couple of things, as we'll see, but primarily, well, not primarily, one of the major uses was to go ahead and create the coals that would then be taken inside and used for the burning of the Ketores. So if you remember, again, one of the interesting things that the Mishnah said was the Mishnah spoke about the creation of a window on the pyre. Now, of course, all window means is that there was an opening in the pyre. That opening faced the east. So says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason why the opening in the Ma'aracha had to face the east? So Rav Huna of Rav Chista, Chad Amar, Kedei Shetehei Ruach Minash Sheves Ba. So we'll say one opinion said, because this way, once you ignite the fire on the inside, if it's facing east, the easterly wind will come along and what? And blow the fire. Blow is the wrong word, but stoke the fire a little bit. So you want a little bit of a breeze to cause the fire to catch. And others say ultimately again, so Ruach Minash Sheves Ba means ultimately to go ahead and cause the wind to exacerbate the fire that is inside of it. Others say that ultimately that opening was in order to put in smaller twigs in between the larger pieces of wood, ignite the smaller twigs, and therefore go ahead and cause the rest of the pyre to ignite. So we'll say, bottom line is, both opinions are agreeing that the point of the quote-unquote window, the point of the opening, was to allow the pyre to burn. The shayla is, what did the opening do? First opinion says, the opening allowed the easterly wind to come in and cause the fire to ignite. Second opinion, the opening was necessary to allow the placement of the smaller twigs, which were used to ignite the larger pieces of wood. It says the Gemara, Meisve Revach Haya Bahen Benagizin Shayimatzisin Esa Alisa Misham. Shabbosai said, interesting enough, the Brisa quotes over here that even not on the northern side, there were openings in the pyre so as to allow the placement of smaller twigs inside to be able to ignite the fire. Amar lecha, mekamos, mekamos avidi. So Moses said, Enochinami, that is correct. In fact, there were multiple openings of the pyre in different parts of the pyre. So Moses, what it sounds like is like this. There was a larger opening in the east. So there's a machlokis what the role of that opening was. Was that opening so as to allow the wind to come in and amplify the fire? Or was it just to go ahead and allow for smaller twigs to be placed inside to ignite the fire? That's a machlokes by the eastern opening. What everyone agrees with is what? That in different places on the pyre, there were these smaller openings so as to insert the twigs to ignite the fire. Beautiful. Hadron Allah Ra'u Achav. But we'll say, just by the way, one of the incredible, and we'll see this in Maseches Midos as well, but one of the incredible, takeaways from this whole Masechta, these Masechtas in general, is you see how incredible the details are to the performance of the avoda. So many different details. And of course, the message is so profound for us. People often erroneously say, the devil's in the details. Yeah. It's not the devil in the details. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the details. Right? Any meaningful relationship in life requires attentiveness to details. Right? We talk about this often. Try this in your marriage. Right? Try saying, you know what, to your wife, you know what? I don't get so involved in the details of our marriage. I'm kind of like a big picture guy. You're not a big picture guy. So don't call me for stuff. Right? Don't ask me for stuff. I'm not going to be around to help. But just know, like, in a big picture, I love you. You know, I care about you a lot. I'm here to provide for you. I'll work hard. There'll be money in the bank. But the day-to-day stuff, I'm not so into that. You'll be spending a lot of time in the sukkah, right? If that's your approach to it. So we'll say it's true in marriage, and it's true in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about the details. The details make and break any single life relationship. Beautiful. We'll say a new parak. Armelai, both said, actually, we're going to see this parag is just a series of Mishnayos, as you're going to see. No Gemara over here, just Mishnah. It's not easier. I just want to get that out of your mind. I saw a couple of smiles. People got excited. Not any easier. Actually, easier to have remembering. Gemara is what clarifies Mishnah. So the absence of Gemara. Okay, good. It's going to be beautiful. Armelai, la Mamuna. They both said the Mamuna comes along. So remember again, the Mamuna is the individual who, he is the Kohen, who is in charge, in this context over here, he is the Kohen who is in charge of delegating the various responsibilities. Now remember again, as we've already begun to see, in the Beis HaMikdash, the responsibilities are divvied up by goro, or by pious, right? By lotteries. The Mamuna is the individual who is in charge of facilitating all of this. So the Mamuna said to them, come, let's draw lots and try to figure out ultimately who is going to do which avoda. Mi ashochet, who's going to shecht? Mi azorik, who's going to do zrika? Mi medashenes mizbeach hapanimi, who's going to clean out the ash from the inner altar, the incense altar? Mi medashenes hamenorah, who's going to clean out the menorah? Mi ma'ala ivarim lekevesh, who is the one who's going to bring up the sacrificial limbs on the ramp? And I both say now again, now the Mishnah just points out over here that there's a... We're going to see all of the different jobs that exist. And I both say, we're not going to get into it today because we'll get into it more tomorrow. There is a fundamental machlokes exactly how the lottery worked. Was there a separate lottery drawn for each and every avoda? Or, for example, the Shita of the Rambam is, there was one lottery drawn, and essentially, again, all the Kohanim to the right of the guy who won the lottery, ultimately, again, were chosen for the success of all this. So we're going to see that clear. We're going to see that, I'm sorry?
The door prize,
right? So we'll see, Amir Hashem, how this worked, but just pointing it out to you. So we'll say, so now we're going to see all the various things that had to get done. So who is gonna go ahead and do Shechita of the Tamid? Who is going to throw the blood? Who is going to clean out the inner Mizbeach? Who is going to clean out the menorah? Who is going to bring up the sacrificial limbs to the ramp of the Mizbeach? And what are the sacrificial limbs that are brought up? The Rosh, the head. Haregel. Right, so we'll say regel is the hind leg. Regel shoyamin is the right hind leg. Ushtei adayim, the two forelegs. Haukatz, the tail. Haregel shall small, the left hind leg. Hachazei, the chest. Hagera, the neck. Shtei defanos, the two flanks of the animal. Hakirvayim, the intestines of the animal. Hasoles, the fine flour. Chavitin, we'll say, now remember again, chavitin refers to the special mincha offered up by the Kohen Gadol. Well, again, we'll see all of this. And Yayin. Yayin, I will say, ultimately, again, for Nisach HaYayin. Hifisu, so they drew the lotteries. Zacha, mi, shezacha. So we'll say, what does that mean? Zacha, mi, shezacha. Whoever won. You get what you get. So we'll say, it's not just for your kids, right? Zacha, you know, it's an incredible yisod, meaning at some point in time in life, sometimes things don't go our way. And you just have to accept, zacha, mi, shezacha. The way it happened is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. It's true when we're young, and it's true if when we're old, and it's true if we're Yisraelim, and it's true if we're Kohanim. Beis. Amalahed. This is incredible. So we'll say, a lot of this is going to sound very familiar, because in fact, as you're going to see, especially the next couple of Mishnayos, so they appear in a, albeit in a bit of a different form, Maseches Yuma. So Amalahed, that was only 5 years ago, so I was starting with your Chazara cycle. Should be right about now. Okay, so good. So the Mamuna will tell the Kohanim, go out and see if the time for Shechita has arrived. So let's remember again, so you can't do Shechita before there's some level of, before dawn, sunrise, we'll see. imigia. So let's say if the sun had already begun to rise, so haroa omer brakai. So the one who would, the Kohen, this would be a Kohen, who would go out and look at the horizon, see Barakai. So I'll say Barakai means, right, literally again, dawn has broken over the horizon. Masi ben Shmuel Omer, Heyer Pinei Kol HaMizrach, Atshu B'Chevron. So I'll say, others say, again, there are just different versions as to how this occurred. Masi ben Shmuel says that in fact, according to the first version, a Kohen would be dispatched, and he would come back and he would say Barakai. Right, he would say Barakai. Right, dawn has broken. Second, the Pesach and Shmuel says no. Oh, what happened is the Mamuna would ask a question. What was the question? Heyer Pnei Kol HaMizrach Atshu B'Chevron. Tell me, has the horizon been illuminated all the way from Yerushalayim until Chevron? Omer Hain. And if the Kohen who would go out to check on this would say yes, then I would say that would mean temple service for the morning can begin. Pretty incredible. Gimel Amalem Tzu Ve'Viu. Right, tzu ve'heviu li votziu talam lishkas hatloim. Shmuel says, so they would go, and they would go bring the memuna. Remember again, the memuna is the one he's running the show over here. So they would bring the memuna, a lamb, from the lishkas hatloim. Right, the lishkas hatloim means the chamber of lambs. Shmuel says, where was that? Var lishkas hatloim nisuna b'miktsoa tzifonis ma'arav. So we'll say, if you happen to still have that sheet from Yom Tif that I gave you, so you could actually see the Lishkas HaTeloim is Lamites. The Lishkas HaTeloim is one of the chambers in the Beis HaMokad, right? The Beis HaMokad is area Lamedalid. That is the largest Lishka. That is the largest chamber inside of the Beis HaMikdash compound. There are four smaller rooms in there. The bottom left room, Lamites, that's the Lishkas HaTeloim, which Rabbi say makes sense, because if you think about it, we're going to see tomorrow, all of those little U's, right? That's where they did the Shechita, the tables, the pillars, the Mizbeach. So the animals were kept right there. So they would say, so remember now we're up to the Karban Tamid. So the Mamuna would say, go ahead and bring me a Lishka from the Lishkas HaTeloim. See, Nisur Mitzvah, Tzfanas HaRavas, Arba Lishkos HaYusham. Rabbi say, in the base HaMokad, in what we call Lamed Dalet, or what we call Lamed Hey, the Beis HaMokad, remember again, was a large chamber, dome top, that had a kippah, right, and had four smaller chambers inside of it. Arba Lishkos HaYusham. We'll say, what were the four chambers? This is incredible. Lishkas HaTilaim, so one of them, again, that's Lamed Tes. One of them, ultimately, again, was the chamber where they kept the animals. Acha Lishkas HaChosamos is actually very interesting. One of them was the chamber of receipts. I will say, so this is actually quite fascinating. If you take a look at the Rush on the left hand margin, Lishkas HaChosamos, Gizbara Hegdish Haya Ma'asef Solas Vishemen, Vyayin Lerov, Umelchar Kalashan Rabos. Listen to this. Now understand, the Beis HaMikdash sold animals, fine flour, and wine, which makes a lot of sense, because if you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash, Lav Dafka, that you want to go ahead and carry this stuff with you. So what's it? But you have to have a system for reconciling sales, right? You have to have some type of like inventory tracking mechanism. So what would they do? They would sell, and then they would go ahead and save the receipts, right? And at some point in time, the gizbar, someone else would reconcile the receipts. So they had a chamber in which they kept the receipts. That's called Lishkas HaChosamos. Pretty incredible. Next, Va'achas Lishkas Beis HaMokad. We will say one of them is what we call the Lishkas Beis HaMokad. So remember again, even though the entire chamber, right, the large area is called the Mokad, Beis HaMokad, there was actually a chamber called Beis HaMokad. That's the chamber where they had what? A fire. There was a bonfire that was burning there, because remember again, like you met at the beginning of the Masechta, it was a heater. If it was cold, remember again, there's marble floors, only one small thin layer of clothing, so if the Kohanim needed to warm up a little bit over the course of the Avodah, they would go in. And I will say one of them was the chambers in which they would make and prepare the lechem haponim. So those are the four chambers of the Beis HaMokad. So even though we call the whole place Beis HaMokad, one Lishkas HaTlaim where they kept the animals, one Lishkas HaChosam where they kept the receipts, one the actual Beis HaMokad where they had a fire burning, torn up the Kohanim, and number four, Lishkas Lechem HaPonim where they made the lechem haponim. Incredible, incredible. Dalid. Nichnesu. So this is wild. They would then go into the Lishkas HaKelim. They had a chamber where they would keep utensils. What would then happen? They would go and they would take out of there 93 utensils. 93 gold and silver utensils. We'll say, why 93? Get ready. That's the number you needed for the avodas of the day. It's incredible. Huh. So they would go in, take out 93 utensils for that morning. Hishkues atamid bekos amadis bekos shalzav. So I say, remember again, this is yesterday's daf, right? Rava, Machlokes, Rava, Shmuel, that ultimately, again, they gave the tamid to drink in a golden utensil. Cook chazar, why did they give the tamid to drink? Right?
Hydrate.
Right, excellent. Yeah, yes. Right, so they would go ahead and they would keep the sheep hydrated.
Everything good? Everything's good. I'm a little walk around. I didn't know you guys were here this early.
So much. We're here all the time.
I'm sorry.
No problem. No,
I don't know what else to say.
You're sorry.
I need sleep.
You're supposed to say that's great. That's great. Right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Incredible. Incredible. All right, we'll say, so says the Gemara. So says the Mishnah. So what happens? So they give the tamid to drink. So I'll say, remember again, going back to yesterday's daf, everyone agrees that they would give the tamid to drink, right? The machlokis only was what? From what? Right? Is saying gold cup. Is that guzma, not guzma? So that was yesterday's daf. So they would give the tamid to drink. Afa pi shumavukar mi be'erev, mevakrin osala aravukas. So I'll say another incredible Gemara. Now remember again, in fact, they had already chosen the designated tamid the night before, right? They had already done so. But and remember, part of choosing the tamid is also to make sure that it is blemish-free. So they already did that the night before. But despite having done that the night before, nevertheless, what? They re-examined the tamid that morning. They once again checked it again to make sure that it would be blemish-free. Of course, this time, there's no natural light yet, because we must remember again, this is happening in the early, early hours of the morning, and therefore, again, they checked it by the light of the torch. Vav. So here we go. So remember again, the first order of business in the morning is Trumas Adeshin. So whoever won the lottery to clear out the ash of the inner Mizbeach, Ubedishon Menorah, so we'll say, I'm sorry, so remember, so whoever won the lottery, remember we actually already spoke about Trumas Hadeshen. So now we're fast-forwarding a little bit. Whoever won the lottery to clear out the inner Mizbeach, which was the golden Mizbeach for Ketores, and Bedishon Menorah, and whoever won the lottery to go ahead and clean out the ash from the Menorah, Hayu Makdimin. We're okay, Gil. We're okay.
I think Mom's concerned about everybody.
He's concerned about the Balkashka. Yes. All right, so the Gemara says as follows. Mishazach b'dishon mizbeach ha'panimi u'b'dishon ha'menorah. So whoever would go ahead and be zochet to clean out the inner mizbeach, the menorah, hayu makdimin v'dalet kelim biyadam. So we'll say, so in order to do the Dishum Mizbeach Chavanimi, the cleaning up of the inner Mizbeach and of the Menorah, so you would have four utensils. Four utensils. What were they? Hatani v'hakuz. So we'll say, we're going to see what all of these are. But there was the Tani and the Kuz. Tani and the Kuz. Ushtei maftechos. And two keys. So two keys were necessary to get around. We'll see in just a moment. Now what is the Tani? They will say, Tani, the Rush points out, is the same lashon as tena, which means a basket. So the tani was a basket. Hatani, so hatani domel tarkov. So the tani resembled the utensil they used to call a tarkov. Shel zav, it was made of gold. Machzik kabayim v'chetzi, and it held 2.5 kabim. So we'll say it was not a small utensil. V'hakuz domel lekiton gadol shel zav. The kuz itself actually resembled a golden pitcher. So we'll say, so you would take in, we're going to see what these were used for in just a moment. Ushtei maftechos, and there were two keys. Achas shu yored ba'amas hashechi, va'achas shu poseach kivin. So it says we're going to see, quote unquote, two keys were used to open the pishpesh. There was a small door. Remember, throughout the Beis Hamikdash, we already saw this a couple of days ago. In many places where there was a large gate, there were also smaller doorways. Those smaller doorways were dafka used in the early morning when some of the Kohanim were still sleeping, and it was still early, because as we're going to see, the opening of the gates made dramatic noise that were heard for a far away distance. So they were careful. They didn't want to open those doors before they had to. So it offers you two keys. Now, we'll say, now, the truth is, as we're going to see, one of them is actually a key. The other is a metaphorical key that he used to keep in the armpit, which means what? One of the ways he used to open up one of the smaller doors was there was a small opening on the bottom. The Kohen would extend his arm up until his armpit and would go ahead and open lock from the inside. You see, you think people in Baltimore invented this. Right, it's not true. Right, they were already doing this. They were already doing this inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Vav. So the Gemara goes right there. Balo lepishe shatzafoni. So they came to the smaller, the pishish, remember again, means a small door. So they came to the northern small door. Shnei pashpishin hayulo l'shar ha-gadol. There were two small doors in the shar ha-gadol, in the great gate. Achas b'tzafon v'achas b'tzafon. So also if you can imagine for just a moment, actually the, alright, we'll see the gate, yeah, we'll see the gate in just a moment. The Pashtos we're talking about, we'll call it Shar Nicanor right now. It's going to be Chaf Gimel. It's this one over here by the Azara. The gateway opening up into the Azara. So we'll see again. We'll say, as I mentioned, I think I say this every year, there's an incredible amount of overlap between Tamid and Midos. So in Midos, we'll get more specific names for a lot of these doorways. Right now, they're just called Great Gates. But we'll see which ones they actually are. So they came to the... Sorry?
That's a relief.
Yes. We'll get there. So, Baba Pishe Shatzoni. There were two small doors for the larger entranceway. Achas, B'tzafon, V'achas, which I will say essentially means that what? The large entranceway, right, is in the middle, right? Is in the middle. And you have side doors, right? Two smaller doors on each side of the larger gate. Lo Nichnas, so the Gemara says, Achas, V'achas, Darum. Shebed Darum, the one on the southern side, Lo nichnas bo adam. A person never entered in. No human being ever used the pishpesh, the small door on the southern side. Why not? Well, this is actually incredible. I love whom furish I decheskel, because about that door, the Nabi Yecheskel, right? Shine Emar, Vayomer Elai Hashem, Ashar Hazeh, Sagor Yiyah, Lo Yiftach, the Ish Al Yava Bo, Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Bo, Vahaya Sagor. Listen, I don't know what it means. I can just say what the pasuk says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that small door, a reference to the southern door, right, the southern door, the door to the left of the Shar HaGadol, ultimately, again, was never used by a human being. Instead, again, it was only used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What that means, I don't know. But the Navi Cheskel says we don't use that door, so therefore we don't use that door. Natos HaMafteach, he took the key, upasachas HaPishpish, and he opened up the Pishpish, the small door. V'nichnas lahato. Both say the ta was another smaller chamber. Let's see if it's written this over here. Oh, is that? Did you put that on the WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful.
Is it one of those?
Beautiful. So the ta. One second, I have it. Yeah, it's another the pishma, the pishesh are chavhei and chavav, the two side doors. Yeah. Okay. Good. To the top, a smaller chamber. I have to see. You know what the truth is. Who is that, Gil? Is it in your Gemara that you have the pictures like that? Is that the Safa Brewer one?
This is Yuma.
Oh, that's Yuma. Okay, good. Okay. Is that really Yuma? No, it probably has the same pictures.
It's not really
Yuma. Okay, good. So you know what? I'm going to... All right, I'll send this... I'll send it out a little bit later. I saw this, and that's the Safa Brewer Gemara, right? Or the version of Masifta. Okay, so that I think it has the best pictures. I meant to send it out last night. Someone should kill the place, by the way. We're up to give the Gemara. So it says, Gil, Mama, she made labor dick today. We're cutting you back to decaf going forward. So the Gemara says, follows. So the Gemara says, what happened? So they got to the ta, v'nichnas la ta, u'mea ta lahechol, and they got from the ta. So they both say, so again, if you can imagine, so this smaller door, this pishpesh, led to the ta. The ta was a smaller chamber. From the ta, they entered into the azara. So the Gemara says, so remember, again, I'm going to say, just so you appreciate what's happening over here on this image, or maybe on the image that you have, remember, they're working from the inside out, right? Remember, again, when we think about coming to the Beis HaMikdash, we often think about coming from the inside in. Remember, they're starting off in the Beis HaMokad, right? Everything starts off over here, the Lishkas HaGozis. They're coming out this way. So the Gemara says, "Umeata lahechal ad shemagila shagadol gila shagadol." So I'm sorry, I just get lost the place. Not some avtechu pasach as lapishpe. She took the key, opened up the small door. Nichnas la'ata umeata lahechal ad shemagila shar hagadol. Goes from the ta to the hechal until ultimately it gets to the great gate. Gila shar hagadol heavir es hanagar. The S haposachus. So we'll say again, once he got to the large gate, he would open up the nagar is the locks and the bolts. Upaschu. And ultimately, you know, we'll say, so now, dramatic moment, they're opening up the large gates of the Beis HaMikdash. Lohaya shochet hashochet. Ad lohaya shochet hashochet. Ad sheshomea shagadol shenifdach. And we'll say, the shochet, i.e. the one who is going ahead and offering up the tamid, would not go ahead and begin his shechit until when? Until... What? Would not go ahead. We're good. Selah dehemenusa. Just remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's here. So we'll say, so remember again, so the Gemara says they would not go ahead and begin to shech the Tamid up until the point that they would hear the gates open up. So also remember again, the shechitas HaTamid can't take place until the Shar HaGadol is opened. Good. Yeah,
the Shar HaGadol is good. These things.
These smaller chambers over here. Yeah. So we're going to see. There's two sets of time, actually. Okay. We're going to see. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah says as follows. Miricha. So we'll say, so now speaking about the smaller chambers. We're going to see. There's two time. There's time over here. And these were also smaller chambers over here. We're gonna see. So we'll listen to this. Now they opened up the Shar HaGadol. Miricho Mishnaches. Miricho Hayushomim Kol Shar Gadol Shniftach. So we'll say when they opened up the large gate, they were able to hear the opening of the gate all the way in Yericho. They both say, you know that if you've been in Yerushalayim, so actually we're gonna see this is not Guzma. This is meant literally. So we'll say. So by the way, to hear anything from Yerushalayim to Yericho is quite dramatic, right? You could drive. Remember again, if you drive out of Yerushalayim as you're going down to the Dead Sea, right? That is the way you go to Yericho. That's the way to Yericho. And by the way, it's a pretty significant drive. So watch this. The Gemara says from Yericho, they heard the call, they heard the noise of the gates opening. Now, Bosan, I just want to tell you something. So this is actually quite amazing. So if you take a look at the Rush, explains, so we'll say, this is a little bit hard to understand. So remember, the simple understanding of it is, how did they hear it in Yericho? It was a miracle. It was a miracle. Right? Say, again, this is Beis HaMikdash. All kinds of stuff happens in the Beis HaMikdash.
Prior to WD-40.
Prior to WD.
Saying.
Thank you.
That's all it would have taken.
I'm going to start something mitzvah notes home. No, that was great. That was great. Thanks for bringing us all down. Exactly. Thanks. I'll tell you about miracles you're talking about WD-40. So let's say an alternative explanation. Maybe if you take a look at the Rush. So the Rush says as follows. It's actually quite amazing. If you look at the Rush Rabosai, the Rush right by Ches. Miricho hayeshomim kol shara gadol. The Kasha is back down. The Yoma Masha the Tzirim shal shara gadol. The Shmona Ches tchum eshabes lo Yosef Yishlomar. That's Rabosai Shara Nikonar. Varish Rabosai. So there's a whole discussion over here about also like, we're going to see there are different gates opening at different times, making different types of noise. We're going to get into all of that, but the Shaila is just how is it hurting Yericho? So okay, answer number one. Miracle, right? Vani shamati shemara sivkio haisam malaches miyushalayim v'liricho v'derech hama'ara hayakom agia ayiricho. You know, this is incredible. This is wild. Chizkio, right? Chizkio built tunnels. We'll say we know that today, right? You can go. Right? You can go in the door in Chizkio's tunnels. Chizkio built tunnels. Apparently, Chizkio originally built his tunnels to go all the way from Yerushalayim, ultimately, again, from Yerushalayim all the way to Yericho. So in the Mishnah over here says that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and hear the opening of the gates from Yerushalayim to Yericho. They're actually referring to what? In a subterranean tunnel. So apparently the opening of the door is made enough, and I'm about to say it makes, I mean, the logic would be obviously tunnels carry sound, in a much more dramatic fashion. So if you heard the opening of the doors in the subterranean tunnels, ultimately, again, it would carry all the way to Yericho. Incredible. So the Gemara says, so now, once we spoke about this, we're going to speak about other sounds that carry, which is actually quite amazing. So in Yericho, Hayushamim Kol Shar Gadol Shniftach. In Yericho, Hayushamim Kol Magrifa. But also not only that, in Yericho, they would also hear the sounds of the Magrifa. And I was saying that this is also a discussion, what exactly Kol Magrifa means. So Machlokes Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rush. The Rush says Kol Magrifa, Kishazarkin also Bein Ulam Lemizbeach. So I was saying, according to the Rush, the Magrifa means the shovel. The shovel. Presumably the shovel that was used for Trumas Hadeshan. That after they would clear off the ash, the coin would drop the shovel, and they would hear the sound of the clanking of the shovel all the way to Yericho. Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, it's not a shovel. Rather, Kol Magrifa, Osan Da'amina Be'erchin, Shahayu Ba'asar Nekavim. It was an instrument. It was an instrument that had 10 holes in it, and ultimately, again, each hole produced another form of beautiful melodic sound. So they heard the instrument all the way to Yericho. By the way, it sounds much better than the dropping of the shovel. Right? So they heard the instruments of the Beis HaMikdash all the way until Yericho. Pretty incredible. Miricho, Hayashomen Kol Ben Arza, Makish Petzaltzal. We'll say furthermore in Yericho, they would hear the sound of Ben Arza. Ben Arza was a Levi. He used to play the cymbals. So they would hear him, I know it's probably a better term than banging the cymbals, but whatever, playing the cymbals. Miricho, Hayashomen Kol Achalil. We'll say, listen to how beautiful this is. In Yericho, they heard the sound of the flute. I will say, when did they play the flute? So amongst many times throughout the year, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. How incredible. I will say, so in Yericho, they would hear the sounds of the flute by the Simchas. Again, the truth is the flute was played through many parts of the Levitic Shira, not just Simchas Shira, but they would hear the flute. Mi Yericho HaYushomim Kol Givinei Kruz. I will say, from Yericho, they would hear Givini, I will say. Now, Givini, literally, was the name of a person. That was his name, Gavini. He was called Gavini the Crier because he would be the one who would cry out either Barkai, right, Dawn, or a couple different. So interestingly enough, that was actually his name. After him, the Criers became known as Gavini. Gavini, good. Miricho, Hayushomim Kala Eid Shasa Ben Katin Muchni Likirbas. This is incredible. From Miricho, they heard the cranking of the wheel from the pulley system that Ben Katan made. I also remember, we had this 2 days ago, right? Ben Katan made the whole pulley system to lower down the kiar into a pool of water so that it shouldn't become possible with Lina. Apparently, that pulley system made a good amount of noise. They heard that noise all the way in Yericho. Mi Yericho, Hayushomim Kol Hashir. In Yericho, they heard the Shira of the Levim. Mi Yericho, Hayushomim Kol HaShofar. In Yericho, they heard the shofar. V'yesh Omrim, this is incredible. Af kolo shel kohen gadol b'shashu maskir as Hashem b'yom kipurim. Right, Rav Osai, so he said that even in Yericho, they heard when the kohen gadol said the Shem Hashem all the way in Yericho. And he said in the basement, he heard in Yericho. Rav Osai, just so you should know, he goes on. Miyericho hayim arichin reyach pitu maktoras. Rav Osai, in Yericho, they smell the ktoras. Rav Osai, say, I have to understand something. Why Yericho? Why Yericho? Because Rav Osai, think about this. Yericho is the place where it all started. Right, Yericho was the first conquest of Yehoshua ben Nun. Yericho was the first city that we captured. And essentially, when Yericho fell, right, like the Navi says, that there were Zion Umos in Yericho. So the Gemara said there weren't Zion Umos in Yericho. Yericho was the last stand against Chalish. Even though the war in Eretzel went on, Yericho was the strongest fortified bordered city. That's where all the Zion Umos marshaled their forces. When Yericho fell, essentially Yerushalayim fell. Yericho, we'll say, it was the first conquest of Eretz Yisrael. It was the first time that Am Yisrael, up until that point in time, we always have claim to Eretz Yisrael. We have spiritual claim. Yericho was the place where we laid physical claim to Eretz Yisrael, where the kibush began, the conquest of Eretz Yisrael began. And as such, it appears that Yericho always maintains that level of sanctity. So it's like this synergistic bond between Yericho and Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the eternal capital of Eretz Yisrael, of Am Yisrael, and Yericho is where our entire Eretz Yisrael narrative began. So these two cities are forever linked, almost like whatever happens in Yerushalayim can be experienced in Yericho. Pretty incredible. So the Gemara says, "Oh, Lazar, this is beautiful." But Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Daglai, Izim Hayu La'aba Ba'ari HaMichvar. my father had goats, right? Had goats in Arya Michvar. So interesting, I think somebody changed, right? The Agos changes this to Bahar Michvar, on the mountain of Michvar. So the Michvar mountain must have been somewhere outside of Yerushalayim. So my father had goats there. Listen to this. V'hayu mis'atshos merech pitum ha'ketores. And my father's goats would sneeze when they would smell the ketores. See? Just want to tell you, one day, Meretz Hashem, we'll see it again. One day we'll see it again. Ches. Misha zocha b'tamid. So we'll say whoever drew the lot and was able to offer up the carbon tamid. Mashcho v'holich b'beis hamid bachim. He would go into the chamber of slaughterers, right? Basically, or the chamber of the butcher's chamber. Umisha zachu beivarim holkinimo. And Abba says, remember again, so whoever got to go, whoever drew the lot that would allow him to shech the tamid, he would go to the Beis Mitbachim. So we'll say, we're going to see the Beis Mitbachim. The Beis Mitbachim is...
Right below the
hooks. Yeah, it's right above, right or above the hooks. Yeah, it's in the area. So we'll say it's in the area between the Beis Hamokad and the hooks area, which are the half use, the use over there. So the Gemara says, Misha zacha b'tamid. So whoever drew the lot to be able to offer up the tamid. So what happens? Mashchu v'halich b'beis hamidbachim. Umisha zacha b'ivarim. And also remember again, there's also people who drew the lot to what? To transport the sacrificial limbs up the ramp. They went with that guy as well, with that coin. Beis Hamidbachim, Hayilat Tzfonu Shul Mizbeach. So we'll say, so the Beis Hamidbachim was to the north of the Mizbeach. Was to the north of Mizbeach, right? So we'll say, so up here, right? You see the Mizbeach kind of center, up. Up is north. So the Gemara says, Hayilat Tzfonu Shul Mizbeach. Wait, am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah.
Correct, right?
Should be in here.
Should be somewhere over here. It's not labeled, like, yeah. Maybe it is labeled as some children. Chavtes. Beis Hamidbachim. Okay, so it's not... Let me see that once more. Did you send this out, Moshe?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, good. So on the picture that Moshe sent out, in the area right between... what we're going to see, those U's are rings held down to hold the animals. The squares and the rectangles are pillars and tables. We're going to learn about them in just a moment. So the Beis Hamidbachim is that area in between. So what happens? Here we go. Va'alav chesamudim nanasim. There are eight small pillars, like dwarfed pillars, small pillars, urivaim shel erez al gabehen. And ultimately, again, they had squares of erez, of cedar wood on top of them. Va'unklus shel barza hayukavun bahen. There were metal hooks embedded in them. The gimel sram the cholechad. Each one had three sets of hooks. So those, you can see on the basement bachim, those squares there, those eight squares, are actually small pillars. Small pillars, each of them had a top made of cedar wood. Three sets of metal hooks.
Stools?
Embedded, I'm sorry?
Stools?
No, you're going to see what they're going to use for. Just watch this. L'cholecha v'echa shebahen, tolin umafshitin. We'll say, ultimately, again, the animal was hung, hanged?
Hung.
What?
Hanged
is only, okay, so hung. Just say it. Everybody, give me an English listener. Just English listener. That's it, yeah. Just fill in the blanks. Right? Seriously. It's PhD students. So listen to this. So they hung the animal from these metal hooks. Hung? Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. They hung the animal from the metal hooks, and they would flay the animal. So remember again, to flay the animal, you want the animal hanging. This way, again, remember, it's all going back. If you hydrate the animal, hopefully the hide comes off easier. If you work with gravity, it also works better. You pull the hide down. So, mafshitin al-shulchano shel shayish shebein amud. And I will say, ultimately, again, they were marble tables. Right? So you can see eight pillars, which are the squares, and then again, the marble tables, which are the rectangles. That's where they would take care of the rest of dismembering of the animals. Tess. Just want to point out also, a lot of times with the avodah and the Beis Hamikdash, so some things happen, what's the right word?
Sequentially,
thank you. And some things happen simultaneously. So we'll say, so it appears at this point in time that some of these events are actually occurring simultaneously as well. Tess, Misha Zacha B'Disham Mizbeach HaBenimi. So we'll say, whoever won the lottery to clean out the inner Mizbeach, what would he do? Nichnas V'Natales HaTeni. he would take a bus. Remember again, the tenny was that small utensil that held 2.5 kabim basket. V'niach lefanav, he would put the basket down in front of him. V'yachofin v'nosin esochob. Shabbos says, so what would he do? Very simply, Shabbos says, how would you clean off the inner mizbeach? So remember again, the inner mizbeach, the mizbeach hazav, the incense mizbeach was a smaller altar. You would stand by it, you would take your hand, and you would clean it off. And you would push, and you would push the ash into the basket. Uba achrona kibed es hashar l'socho v'niach yas. And Shabbos says, whatever was left last, you would use two hands, gather it up, and ultimately put it into the basket. V'nicho, and Shabbos says, interesting, what we're going to see is, he would leave the basket there. Well, we'll see why this is. He would, so after he cleaned off the Yerim Mizbeach, he would leave the basket there, and he would leave the Heichal V'yatza. Mi shezacha b'dishon ha-menorah. So the person who won the lottery to clean out the menorah, nichnas, he would go in, u'matza beiz neros mizraches dolkin. So we'll say, generally, he would find the two easterly candles still lit. Medashin es hashar, so he would go ahead and clean out the rest of the lamps that had already burned out. U'meniach es elu dolkin b'mkoman, and he would leave the two easterly candles to still remain burning. Matzan shekavu, we'll say, if he found that the two easterly candles had in fact already extinguished, so medashnon, he would clean those out first. U'madlikin min hadalukin, and he would kindle them from any of the other candles that were still lit. I'm using the word candles, but you understand, really lamps. It's probably the better definition. Shabbos says, so we're going to see in the menorah, there always had to be something that remained lit on the menorah. Here, interestingly enough, the Mishnah seems to indicate that it's two lamps that would remain perpetually lit until the next evening when the kohen would extinguish them before he would relight the menorah. The Evan Haisa lifnei menorah. And Shabbos said there was a, literally, Evan means a stone. But in fact, what it means is really steps, right? There were steps in front of the menorah. Uba gimel malos. There were three steps in front of the menorah. Sha'aleha kohen omeid umeitiv es haneros. It will say, so the kohen would go ahead and stand on those steps, and on those steps is how he would arrange the lamps. Umaniach es ha'kuz amayla shnia. He would leave, but remember, the kuz is the small little pitcher that he would bring in to clean out the menorah. He would leave the kuz amayla shnia on the second step. The yatza, and ultimately again he would leave it there. So both by the cleaning out of the mizbeach as well as by the menorah, we see that they would leave the utensils inside of the Beis Hamikdash itself. Come back for it a little later, as we will see. Hadrun alach amar dam amona. Boseh shkoyach. We'll pick up our Avir Meretz Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.
Were you eligible
for
the second day?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can enter in every day. So you could have a situation where the same Kohen could win it multiple days. Yeah.